Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I like the fact that baseball's there with me every night. Baseball's the soundtrack of summer when football is not playing games. We've just wrapped up hoops and hockey. I find it comforting that baseball's always there through the summer nights. I enjoy the fact that it takes the scenic route. Baseball's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Anything can and will happen.
All rise. Here comes the judge. Oh, what a home run.
This ball's got a chance. Gone.
Deep to left center. Way back. Up, up and away.
Not one, not two, not three, but four home runs tonight for Scooter Gennett.
Baseball gives me a chance to lower my heart rate, sit, put your feet up, enjoy.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
Put me in cold. I'm ready to play today. Look at me. Yeah. I can be. So put me in cold. I'm ready to play
today. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Pick me. Pick me. Were you that kind of kid in school? I might have been. I was a little bit eager. Plus, you know me. I like to talk. When I was in school, going back to junior high and high school, the majority of my detentions, I think I got 7 or 8 when I was in high school. The majority of my detentions were for talking in class. And I'm pretty sure my mom gave me most of them because she was my math teacher in high school. So when you all see the, if you checked out the t-shirt that I was wearing recently, I shared a photo on social. It was math teacher humor, math humor. And a lot of you got it, which is great, but it does seem more appropriate for me and my show. So you can check that out at A-Law Radio and then our Facebook page too. We've got a couple of spots where you can weigh in on social. If you're listening to the show, well, you know, this is our middle show of the work week. It's the Hump Show, which means you get to ask Amy anything. And I know it's been somewhat unorganized over the past couple months. Thank you for bearing with me, doing the best I can sometimes to keep the cracks in the dam all plugged up. But as we've got our final week without a producer, we're just going to do more impromptu. I did put a spot up. And I see some of you are liking it. Yay! And you can send your questions. Otherwise, those of you on Facebook right now are getting outdistanced, outgained by the listeners who use Twix instead. So either one. Also, I'm very proud of myself for the GIF that I put up on Facebook with our football fill in the blank. So you'll have to check that out. I don't think I've ever done that particular motion. I can't say anything else. You're just going to have to go look. So yes, two ways that you can weigh in on the football side of things. Fill in the blank. This football season will be a success if what? I agree with the post that I just saw pop up on Twix. If 26 of the starting quarterbacks avoid major injuries. Oh yeah. The last couple years, we have seen record numbers of quarterbacks. And for those of you who are Browns fans, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But it's not just Cleveland, right? There's been a rash of quarterback injuries that have taken some of the best off the field. The Jets lose Aaron Rodgers 4 snaps into the 2023 season. So the fact that there were, 60 plus starting quarterbacks in the NFL in 2023, that should tell you something. 66 quarterbacks started at least one game in 2023. And remember, Josh Dobbs, he started for 2 different teams. Lots of injuries. So this is can be because of injuries or ineptitude. But in most cases, last year's revolving door at quarterback was because of injuries. And that's more than double the number of teams. So on average, each team had to use two QBs. Now, it didn't work out that way, as we just pointed out, for the Browns. You had everything from Deshaun Watson to Dorian Thompson-Robinson, DTR, to Joe Flacco, who eventually provided some stability. In that same division, the Bengals used two quarterbacks. When Joe Burrow got hurt, it was Jake Browning. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, three different QBs. In the AFC North alone, which was the best division in football last season, think about the number of QBs. You had everything from the MVP, Lamar Jackson, to a team that used five different starting quarterbacks. Although it did clean up on the postseason awards. So that's the contrast. I had said this going into last year. If the San Francisco 49ers can manage to get through an entire season with just one QB, just Brock Purdy, if they can go the entire way with just Brock Purdy, that in and of itself is a massive step forward. But we know every year there's so much transition at that position. It makes sense, of course, because there is so much pressure and because there are opportunities. So I think it's both. It's the impatience, but it's also the fact that half the playoff field turns over every year. The margin for error in the NFL is so thin. And the best teams are not that much better than the worst teams. I mean, you do have some that are god-awful, and you do have some that are terrific. But think about the Chiefs last year. The iteration that Kansas City went through from start to finish with an offense around Patrick Mahomes that really struggled and scuffled, and it was the defense that was dynamic and kept them at least in position to win games or pulled them out of holes. By the way, if you're wondering, the Chiefs went over in the preseason, which I generally think is a recipe for success in the regular season. But yeah, no team starts out the year ready to win a championship. And over the course of the 17 games and the 18 weeks, well, yeah, you see these teams morph and change. It's not just injuries. It's this dynamic progression, which I love, when you're talking about 53 humans on the active roster. And then think about the practice squad and the coaching staffs and the athletic training staff. It's a massive operation for every team, which means you can start in the hole. You can start 0-3. You can start 1-4. And you can still make the playoffs. I mean, we've seen examples of that over the last several years. Or the opposite can happen. You can be the Philadelphia Eagles flying high. Best record in the NFL for, what, two-thirds of the season? And then, just a disaster at the end. Same thing with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So just because the first month is terrific or the opposite, the first month is terrible, doesn't mean it's going to stay that way, which means as teams are prepping for a new season, they recognize any little advantage could mean the difference. Between playoffs or no, any little leg up, a slight boost, whether it's a quarterback, whether it's your 53rd guy on the roster, explains why cutdown day is so important, but also what happens in the wake of the cuts that we saw on Monday. Because teams will now start to sign guys that were waived by other teams, like, for instance, Tim Patrick, who gets traded to the Lions. They were going to waive him in Denver, but instead they find a new home for him. You never know how an addition here or addition there, a tweak to the lineup here or there, could mean you've got one more win than the next team in your division or in your conference. And so the margin for error and the margin that separates the best from the worst is not that humongous. It's not a huge chasm, which is why it's so competitive. This football season will be a success if what? Asking you to fill in the blank at A-Law Radio and also on our Facebook page. 855-212-4227. We'll get to some baseball as well. But while we're talking about the Browns and their quarterbacks from last year, it was interesting and definitely worthy of a headline, raising eyebrows, Kevin Stefanski and the Browns keeping four quarterbacks, at least initially, on their 53-man roster. Stefanski relatively vague. I don't know that it stays that way, but yeah, getting questions about it.
We're not setting the depth chart at any position. Obviously, we think very highly of Jameis and all those guys.
Kevin, I got in with only two running backs. What's the thinking?
Yeah, as you could probably just rewind what I said last year at this time. It's the first 53. It's not the final 53. So I'm sure there's moves to be made down the line here. I don't envy Andrew these days because this is some tough decisions to make. He's got a plan and we'll work through it.
So the Cleveland Browns actually held a competition for their number three quarterback spot in training camp. I think a lot of these signs point to potentially their lack of confidence that Deshaun Watson can get through an entire season. I hope that's not the case, but they brought in Jameis Winston on a one-year deal. They actually haven't even indicated that he's going to be the primary backup. You hear Kevin Stefanski say that they don't have, at this point, depth charts that they're willing to share. They have Tyler Huntley, and then they have last year's rookie QB that started a handful of games, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, along with Deshaun Watson. And then, because they released Dante Foreman, they only have two running backs on this initial roster. What does that mean? I like how he puts it. I like how he puts it in perspective. It's not the first, or it's not the final 53. It's the first 53. So there are moves to be made down the line. But I would say in the case of the Browns, even if their defense isn't as tremendous as it was a year ago, the season will be a success if they can get through 17 games and then beyond, but 17 games with a single quarterback. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Some of you weighing in, which I appreciate. Some good stuff. Marsha, she's going deep. The season will be a success if my Detroit Lions make it to the Super Bowl. Oh, it's time. It's definitely time. Can you imagine? I kind of feel like the emotions and the excitement, I think the fan support would be similar to what happened when the Chicago Cubs finally made their the Chicago Cubs finally made their World Series run. And then you remember it was a tremendous World Series, so dramatic, against the Cleveland Indians at the time. Both of those fan bases desperate for the title. And they go to a game 7 and extra innings where the Cubs rally and end up winning, following a rain delay, mind you, winning that World Series that had taken them more than 100 years. If the Detroit Lions finally get to a Super Bowl, we'll just stop there. All right, let's not speak it out loud. We don't know what's going to happen. But if they can build on last season, if they can capitalize on that experience, not to mention the fan support. I mean, think about it. The draft alone, 750,000 people that showed up over several days. They're flying high in Detroit when it comes to football. Can they take advantage of what feels like a team getting close to the top of the mountain? Especially when in the NFC, it's top heavy. I've said this before. Unless something drastically changes in the NFC, you're looking at, well, Dallas is expected to be good, although a lot of people don't believe they'll be as good as last year. How do you even know? the Eagles, can they return to form? They had the issue with the two coordinators that left and just the wrong people that were brought in by Nick Sirianni. I do think the NFC North will be better. Lions, Packers, okay. Bears. Now, the Bears may defy my theory about the preseason. Now, they played four games, not three, because of the Hall of Fame. But I'm not a huge fan of teams going 4-0 or even 3-0 in the preseason, because to me that usually signals that the regular season is not going to be as good. I don't know why. It's my theory. I pick and choose the examples that would validate my theory. I think the NFC South is wide open, but I don't know that we're looking at any dominant teams. I do like what the Atlanta Falcons have done, and I can't wait to see how Raheem Morris comes out of the gate. Improvements on both sides of the football, even as recently as a week ago. The Niners, I mean, seemingly, they've only got one thing left, and that's to finally win the Super Bowl. But can they maintain this level with every other team trying to knock them off the top of the mountain in the NFC? So seems like the NFC is the easier conference to make headway in. No, that's the case. It's based on recent past, but an inability to predict the future. But maybe there's more room for movement. We saw what the Packers did last year. Marsha's going deep, though. The season will be a success if my Detroit Lions make it to the Super Bowl. Looking on our Facebook page, I'm so pleased that many of you have now checked out the GIF that I put up. Mike's going to be snarky about it. The season will be a success if Aaron Rodgers lasts four snaps. Maybe raise the bar a little higher. If he's out there for longer than four snaps. Angus says that the season will be a success if the Cowboys win more than one playoff game. Yeah, maybe be specific. Christine, she's really lowering the bar. The Patriots win a game. A game? Come on, you know it's, I would say, about as difficult, maybe even more difficult to go winless over the course of an NFL season as it is to go undefeated. So Christine is really setting the bar low. Dana, though, says the season will be a success if the Patriots have found their quarterback of the future. We still have not heard from Jerod Mayo. I was thinking it was Jacoby Brissett, and it wasn't going to be Drake May out of the gate, that they were going to be more cautious with the rookie. I don't love the idea of throwing a rookie QB, even one as talented as Drake has shown. I don't like the idea of throwing him out there behind a porous offensive line, and that's one thing that has stood out about their preseason. But we wait to hear from Jerod Mayo. Janet on Facebook, the season will be a success if the Pittsburgh Steelers get into the playoffs and win a playoff game. And then she writes in all caps, please, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, with a flourish. Wait, so does that mean then fans will accept that Mike Tomlin's still a damn good coach or nah? Some people get so incensed when you point out that he's never had a losing season. So I don't know. If they win a playoff game, but they come up short of getting back to the Super Bowl, does that then mean Tomlin has to go in the eyes of some fans? Uh-huh. We're so fickle. And nothing gets us more emotional, irrational, illogical than the NFL. That's the thing. For those of you who were with us last night, I stumbled across a post from the Earth account. I know, it sounds funny, but it's actually a really cool account. It's got a lot of photos from all over the globe, and I'm a big fan of photography in nature. Love clouds, love mountains, Amazing. Breathtaking photos of nature. That's one of my favorite things. Someday when I'm no longer a radio host, maybe I'll be a photographer just because. And so the Earth account shares a lot of really cool photos. Some, well, I'd say the majority of them in places I've never been. But every now and then they also get wonky and put up a question that they want people to answer. And so they wanted to know, what is your home country known for? And I responded, football, baby, in all caps, because that is something the United States is known for. I spelled it the way we spell it, not the way the world spells football. What is your country known for? Football. You can check it out. That's true, because we agree on nothing in this country except for the NFL. And it's funny, too, because you could say college football under that umbrella, except it's not actually true. There are a lot of people in the United States that don't pay attention to college football. I know, because I grew up in New England. And until I went to Syracuse for my master's degree, I never paid attention to college football. And then it took 4 years in Oklahoma, in Big 12 country, to really understand the religion, the lifeblood that is college football. But it's not a countrywide or a nationwide phenomenon like the NFL is. If you can't beat them, you might as well join them. Get on the NFL train. It's coming. But yes, college football too. Looking forward to this weekend. So at A-Law Radio, and while you're there, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Also on our Facebook page, good to connect with you. Final week of the summer. Well, okay, I take that back. Final week of the school's out summer, right? Because a lot of kids are already back in school, but there's still a good chunk of the nation that doesn't return kiddos to school until after Labor Day, the unofficial end of summer. Hang on to it while you can. Actually, Bob and I were planning a Labor Day weekend cookout. We're both working on Labor Day. We're laboring on Labor Day. But on Sunday, we'll do a cookout just because we're nerds. Not only do we like to do nerdy things like word puzzles, actual puzzles, go to history movies, historical movies, but we also like to plan our meals. Seriously. I found my better half. So find us online, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Back to throw. They blitz him from the safety spot, and Prescott escapes that, runs to his right, throws on the run to the middle of the field. Lamb at the 50. No one will get anywhere near him. Lamb could crawl in if he wanted to. C.D. Lamb, 92 yards from Dak Prescott for the Dallas touchdown.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Brad Sham on Cowboys Radio. Oh, that sense of relief, that weight off your shoulders, Cowboys fans. Could it be because CeeDee Lamb is now practicing with the Cowboys, getting set for the opener that comes up next weekend? 135 catches, tops in the NFL a year ago, 1,749 receiving yards, second in the league, a dozen touchdowns, making it 32 over his four seasons with the Cowboys, not to mention the top receiver, top option for one Dak Prescott, who could be next in line for a deal. When we started this offseason program, it's kind of this progression. And what Stephen Jones indicated, Jerry's son, is that it was complicated because they've got three guys, different positions, different importance, all important though, but in various ways, the Cowboys needing to get these deals done. They want to keep this triumvirate, if you will, together. CeeDee Lamb, check. Well, what about Dak Prescott? There's still a few days before the season begins. And according to Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, yeah, there actually could be another huge deal to drop from the Cowboys before they kick off.
The fact that the Cowboys now wrapped up one of their major contractual priorities yesterday means it's time to turn their attention to the other one. And of course, they have, in fact, been talking to Dak Prescott about a potential new deal. And there is still a chance that one gets done before the season. Complicating matters is that Dak Prescott probably has as much contract leverage as you could literally ever have ever. He cannot be franchise tagged. He cannot be traded. He's almost certainly going to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL if he gets a deal. And if he doesn't take a deal, which he doesn't have to, he'll be the highest profile free agent in NFL history. That is what the Cowboys are against. They are working. There is still time. It's certainly one of the biggest storylines heading into the season.
All right. I appreciate Ian Rappaport. And there's actually another perspective, too. We've had Calvin Watkins on our show before. He's Dallas Morning News reporter. He told Maggie and Perloff Tuesday morning. I almost said Monday. The days, they blend together. Tuesday morning, let's not go backward, that a deal between Dak and the Cowboys will be done before the season kicks off. But when Ian drops the highest profile free agent in NFL history, come on. I mean, I know hyperbole, it's recency bias, but I can think of other quarterbacks who were a little higher profile than Dak Prescott.
Really?
Yeah, like Peyton Manning. Don't you remember Peyton Manning was a free agent?
Yeah, but he was at the end of his career. I think they're looking at it as
the end of his career?
He
helped the Broncos get to two more Super Bowls.
I'm aware of that, but it was...
He won another MVP.
He was still towards the back end, yeah. Now, I think... What he's thinking about is in the prime of his career. The only guy that I mean, high profile, you're right. Look, Peyton Manning's a bigger name by far.
And a better quarterback.
100%. At the time, again, he was also coming off a neck injury, hadn't played for a year, so there's some extenuating circumstances. But there was a name that you go all the way back. I mean, Reggie White was probably the most prolific free agent of all time, but no one will ever top that because nobody will ever be like a... He was in the prime of his career when he went free agency. So that's... There is some recency bias there. If you think quarterbacks, though, the only guy that was ever... That broke the bank... Because Peyton Manning didn't break the bank. It was Kirk Cousins, which is wild because that's the...
Not Drew Brees?
No.
I mean, Drew Brees...
Drew Brees was looked at as... I mean, he only had two options.
He had the surgery.
Yeah, he was looked at as damaged goods. He began his career basically with the Saints. He resurrected. He was looked at as a guy that may not even be a starter in the NFL anymore.
I just don't think... Well, I agree that Dak Prescott is a really good quarterback. And coming off of last year, I think that's huge. But at the same time, I can't imagine calling him the most high-profile free agent in NFL history.
When they think of it, they think of it in quarterback terms. But when you look at quarterbacks that are in their prime don't hit the free agency market when they're good. None of them do. And there's a reason, because they're so hard to find, teams will do anything they can do to make sure that they don't let them leave. Now, if you're leaving, it means something's wrong with you.
You don't think Baker Mayfield?
No. There's something wrong. There's damaged goods somehow. You're injury prone. You're coming off an injury. You're at the tail end of your career. You're getting older. You haven't performed. There's always something. There's always a wart there that you look at and you go, yeah, there's a couple teams that are going to look for it, but this is not enough.
There are plenty of teams that wanted Tom Brady after it was proven that he wasn't going back to New England.
But he was also 43 or 44.
Oh, come
so like
on.
I get it, but
no, Tom Brady, even at he wasn't quite 40 yet, but even at late stages of his career when he left for Tampa, he's still a better quarterback than Dak Prescott.
He was over 40, and there was a team, and he still holds it to now, that he wanted to go to, and he kept saying, you want to keep that guy over me? There were teams I looked at it and go, I got a guy that's 26. Do I want to go with a guy that's 42? And they were afraid.
Oh, you're right. He was. Yeah.
So, again, is he better? Yeah. But at 42...
I don't recall hearing anyone afraid of Tom Brady.
Afraid of moving on from their own quarterback. We don't know who it is. We seem to think, from what Tom Brady said, it might have been the Raiders. And he was kind of a little annoyed that you wanted to stay with Derek Carr as opposed to go with Tom Brady. Was it the 49ers? You'd rather go with Jimmy Garoppolo or go to Tom Brady? But there was a few teams that passed on Brady. Believe it or not,
but
because
what Ian Rappaport is saying is not the best quarterback available, the most high-profile free agent, which I just think is wrong.
You're right, because he used the wrong word. You're talking about resume? No. I think he was looking at it in the idea of in the prime of their career, where they're looked at as a quarterback and a catalyst and being the guy of your franchise. The only other guy that I could think of that was in his prime was Kirk Cousins. And that's why the bidding was through the roof, and he wound up getting guaranteed money for his entire contract, basically. It's because you don't really get guys that are in their prime available for everyone.
I concede your point that Dak is in his prime. I still say that even older, these other guys that are brought up are better quarterbacks than Dak. But I understand what you're saying.
Right. I agree. Look, Tom Brady at any point in his career is going to be better than anybody. We know that. We understand there are certain guys. But like I said, it comes with the idea of you didn't know how much more Tom Brady was going to play. He was 42, 43, whatever it was. Did he have one big year? You thought maybe. Nobody knew for sure how good he could be from how long. So there's a fear. There's again, that's the war.
You could say the same thing about Dak Prescott.
Well, you don't know because nothing is ever proved. But Dak Prescott's what, 30, 31? Like he's not, it's not going to be because you're afraid that he's only going to be there for a year or two. You're just afraid that he's not going to be able to get over the hump in a playoff spot because you don't know if he's going to perform big there. Same thing with Kirk Cousins. And that's something that's been following him his whole career. But it's not, same thing with Peyton Manning. Is his neck all messed up? Can he throw anymore? They didn't know. So there's like, that's the unknown. They're better players at their peak, but at the time that they were free agents, there was some unknown that was involved. The only unknown with Dak Prescott is when you get to the playoffs, which it seems like you get there every year, are you going to perform? And that teams are more able to swallow as opposed to, can you lift your right arm? Are you going to only play for a year? Those are the things that scare them.
I still disagree with it. I understand the point you're making, but I still don't say just because he's in his prime, he's not won an MVP. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys have not been to an NFC championship.
100%.
And I still believe if you polled people around the NFL or even fans, they would take a Peyton Manning at the age that he was when he went to the Broncos or take Tom Brady, even if it's only for a couple years. Heck, the Jets are willing to pay Aaron Rodgers, even though they're not sure how long he's going to be there.
Again, like I said, I think the word that he used is inaccurate. Profile. When you say high profile, that's inaccurate because I don't care what stage of your career is, there's no higher profile than Tom Brady. So yes, I agree with you in that respect. I think he was looking at it as, like I said, I think he was thinking
there aren't many that are available at this point. He's 31.
And no quarterbacks in their prime, again, in their prime, hit free agency with everyone able to vibe because everyone always does what they can do. Whether it's Lamar Jackson, they franchise. There's always something that's attached or they just never hit the market at all until they get older or they get hurt.
And the neat thing about Dak is he can't be franchised again. So we've already gone through that. He had that in his last contract, which means if he wanted to, he could hit the market. Now, he's always said he wants to be a Cowboy for life. So I would imagine that if they pay him and extend him a contract that puts him commensurate with what we've seen, which is Trevor Lawrence, $55 million a year, Tua, $53 million, Jared Goff, Tua, $53 million, $55 million, that era. And if you're talking about those quarterbacks who've been paid what they are, then you would think Dak would be right in the same wheelhouse.
Yeah, and likely because of the situation he's in and because of the way Dallas has painted themselves into a corner, wouldn't shock me if Dak said, okay, so what's the high, 55? Let's start at 60. Where's the guaranteed money?
Oh, my gosh. If you're the Cowboys and he asked for 60, I'd be willing to let him go.
And then here comes the same question that has with everybody around the NFL. Okay, so now who's your quarterback next year?
Yeah, I mean that.
And then you restart.
Half the NFL goes through it every year.
And then you reset. Yeah. Because once you don't have a quarterback, you wind up resetting your entire franchise, which resets your roster.
It's worked out for teams. I mean, there are teams where it works out, right? I mean, think about C.J. Stroud last season and how it worked out for them to reset. Now, they had a bunch of young guys around him and a dynamic coach, but it worked out pretty well.
They reset because they were the number two pick in the draft.
Also,
and the rest
I think
of the team
the
stunk.
Cowboys could easily attract another quarterback if that's what they wanted, right? So they're one of the high-profile destinations.
Right, but and there lies the rub because no other high-profile quarterback will hit the market because nobody lets them leave if they're good.
You
have to stink to be able to get one in the draft.
If the writing's on the wall and Dak thinks about leaving and there are other quarterbacks who are potentially interested,
They'd have to force their way there through a trade because they've never hit the market as a free agent.
It could be kind of interesting.
It is. It's just that's why all the tentacles are there. It's rare that a guy is just, hey, you just got to pay him. There's usually something else that goes along with it. And Dak, if he actually hits the market, would be the only guy that would be there for next year that all you got to do is pay him.
That's all you got to do. Just pay him $60 million. That's all you got to do. Ben says, what about Deshaun Watson? He was high profile. Many teams wanted him.
Wasn't a free agent.
Right, he was available via trade. That's true. And the legal issues were already there, mm-hmm. so that he had already had, what, 20-something lawsuits that were already there. Though, obviously, there was a bit of a bidding war to with
100%,
the Texans.
100%, but he wasn't a free agent.
Agreed. That was what Ben was pointing out there. All right, so fill in the blank. That's what we're asking you to do on social at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. This football season will be a success if what, Sal? If they don't show Taylor Swift. Oh, I think you'll survive. It'll be okay. 855-212-4227. Austin Eckler, he is really impressed with the young rookie quarterback for the Washington Commanders. And honestly, a fresh start for him as well. Maybe the best friend to Jaden Daniels. So you hear what he has to say coming up. Wow, how are we almost halfway through our hump show? Oh, Marco. Marco likes to argue. Marco and I enjoy arguing and debating, but his mind when it comes to football, especially Giants football, is like an encyclopedia. That I cannot compete with. I already have enough useless knowledge. There's not enough room in there for all the trivia that he knows. And it's good. It's good to be able to debate. I enjoy that. I actually have no idea what type of debater Pete is. Pete and I are friends. And we're allies. And so generally when we talk, it's not about sports. It's about work or it's about family or it's about, yeah, it's about faith and God. And we have a lot in common. We haven't ever debated about sports. And so when Pete joins the show next week and is our new executive producer, it'll be interesting to see where he falls on some of these different topics. I wouldn't call them controversies necessarily. That would be almost contrived. But we do love football around here, and Marco and I generally disagree on almost everything, which is fun. And so it'll be neat to see how Marco, Pete, and I have that dynamic on the few occasions where we have Marco here in studio to be able to hang out with us just a couple of times per night. And actually, he moves around a lot too, so don't ever get too comfortable. Things are always changing in the radio industry. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence inside of an hour until I'll answer your questions. So you have a few minutes left to send them to either of our sites at A-Law Radio and then also on Facebook. This is our hump show impromptu edition of Ask Amy Anything until we get settled into a routine again. Also, if you haven't joined Survivor Island, like one guy responded and said he found us on Survival Island. All right, I guess that works too. You just need an email and a password. Once you find the link, again, on both of our sites, pinned at the top of our Facebook page. And as I mentioned, if you're going to stay a while, make sure you bring your sunscreen. Make sure you bring a hammock if you plan to sleep. Otherwise, you're going to have to be on the ground there. I remember one time we did a show on the one personal item or toiletry, I guess, that you would take with you if you were stuck on a desert island. For me, it's chapstick. Once my lips are chapped, oh no. If I have dry lips, everything goes off the rails. I would say a dozen times in the course of the last 12 years that I've been here doing After Hours, I've had no access to my chapstick. Either I left it in the car, I left it at home, I left it in the pants pocket. A different pants pocket that's in my drawer. I get very distracted. I'm not sure what's worse, having a growling stomach or having chapped lips when you're hosting a radio show, at least for me. So check it out. And then while you're doing it, fill in the blank. This football season will be a success if what? Let's go, football fans. Let's go. Oh, speaking of let's go, I actually wasn't expecting to read this news on Tuesday. Tom Brady, who's busy now with his Fox obligations, maybe it's an exclusive contract, but he's no longer hosting Let's Go with his buddy Jim Gray. So no more Scratchy, which I think is what Jim called him. Instead, he recommended Bill Belichick take over his spot on the SiriusXM NFL radio show. It's a weekly show. I actually thought it was Brady's podcast, but it's not. So it's going to be Jim Gray, Bill Belichick, and Max Crosby, who is a great talker. He's got a podcast himself. I'm not sure if that will continue. But yeah, that's going to be really interesting to hear Belichick on radio, right? And he'll probably be answering questions from Jim a lot of the time, but he's got a lot of media obligations. Will he drop them? Drop him like it's hot when he gets a call to coach again? I would think so, but that's something we'll have to wait and see. All right, I mentioned Jaden Daniels. Some of you are pointing to him as your wishes for this 24 season with the Commanders. They rest on this rookie QB, drafted number 2 overall. He's got a brand new and extremely versatile running back in Austin Eckler in that Washington backfield. What does Eckler have to say about the rookie?
He's going to be a stud, flat out. Flat out, the guy is going to be a stud. And not only because of, you know, his talent, he's very talented. He's very bought in to the culture, to learning, to absorbing, being a sponge, and also taking the extra steps to make sure that he's listening, you know, to the veteran guys in his room, Marcus Mariota, for example, and applying those practices. For example, after practice, every single practice, he's getting routes thrown with the receivers, just working through little things that he wanted to see. I know we work routes that we just want to get timing on, little things like that that continue to add up for you to become a veteran and a pro in this league. And so that's exactly what he's been doing. And then also you add to the fact that we have all these veterans around him, me, Zach Ertz, you know, brought in Tyler from Dallas. So a lot of guys that have played a lot of football that can help make his job easier by being in the right spot, knowing the calls, getting lined up right, being efficient, pushing him and the other people around him to make sure that we're going forward. So he is in a prime example to have a breakout year.
Austin Eckler can be complimentary of the rookie Jaden Daniels. He does not have to go all in like that. He raves about Jaden. And it's not that different from what we've heard about Caleb Williams in Chicago. His teammates have also raved about him. The number one thing I hear about Caleb is how professional he is. His approach to the job, it's very businesslike. And even at his age, the fact that he's brand new to football as a career, that's impressing people. So, again this year, we'll have rookie quarterbacks from the top of the draft starting. So, that's always a big question mark about the new season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.